Hello, Olin Tangi. This is Krista Davis, Olin Tangi's Chief Communications Officer, and this episode is part two of a two-part series on digital citizenship. So, if you missed part one, be sure to go back and listen. Our Olin Tangi student well-being, technology safety, and instructional technology teams are sharing how to help students navigate our digital world. On this episode, they will discuss digital balance and wellness, and digital equity and inclusion.
Hello, my name is Jennifer Fury, and I'm the Assistant Director of Instructional Technology with Olin Tangi Schools. We want to welcome you back for part two of our Digital Citizenship series. If you weren't with us, be sure to go back and listen to part one, where we discuss digital fluency and digital safety. Again, with me today, I'm going to let my participants introduce themselves.
Hello, my name is Katie Branson. I am the Assistant Director of Student Wellbeing.
I'm Sam Marshall. I'm the district's IT security supervisor.
Hello, I'm David Hayward, supervisor of instructional technology.
So first question around digital balance and wellness is really how might parents support their children in building positive digital habits at home?
One of the tools that I've liked to use and I've seen used is making a cyber plan or a digital family plan. Talking about the when, the where, the how, you know, why we use technology. So for young children, we want to know as parents and as then teachers, you know, where are they going? They should ask permission to use the internet. They should be able to know where they're going, why they're going there, what they're going to do there, if they're going to interact with somebody or not. And again, I believe that for our youngest students, they shouldn't be interacting with anybody that they don't know the other person's name. I mean, like real name, not a username or they need to know that person for in real life, not just in the digital life. Again, that's for our youngest students. We should have conversations with them, though, about those safe and unsafe spaces that they can be in. And so having those conversations is going to build then positive digital habits while they're at home, because they're going to be able to make those choices and know why they've made those choices.
I think, David, that idea of wellness and in terms of habits, right? When we talk about whether it be physical wellness or nutrition or any of these other things, we talk about what is a good habit and a bad habit and identifying those things. Bad habits being I'm using my device and I feel lonely or I don't feel good when I'm done using it. Or good habits. Oh, I got online and I connected with this person and it made me feel really good and I was really excited to get to see my friend's pictures or whatever. But I think just establishing those habits is really important in terms of wellness.
Yeah, I also think parents can do a lot by interacting with their child. So instead of your child going off and playing a game online by themselves, take that opportunity to go play online with your child. You may see a completely different side of them. You can definitely call out maybe some concerning things you saw during a game. Even if you're not a gamer, that's not something that you do, taking the time to kind of meet them where they are is another good method.
Well, and that goes, Sam, to what we talked about a lot in our last podcast of engaging in conversations with your child, mentoring your child, keeping those open lines of communication, being that trusted adult, and sitting down and learning about an online game or engaging in conversation with them while they're playing that game is a great way to begin to open the lines of communication and create that safe space where they hopefully will come to you and have conversations with you because you are that trusted adult.
Yeah, part of the balance and wellness piece too is we can use online resources, the internet, to learn about something, but then take the time to go and actually do it. Get outside and come up with that plan with your child to learn more about it by actually doing. So it's more than it's all a part of asking those questions and being curious and using the tools that we have online to find out more information, but then go and do whatever it is you're interested in, so that we get out of that habit of simply scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. create that stop point, that end point for you and your child to go out and do something with that knowledge now that you've gained.
Well, and one of the ways, you know, to remind ourselves and our kids of that is to change your lock screen. Put a picture of something that is like, oh yeah, I do like doing that, and I've been on my phone for an hour. Maybe I should check in. And really creating those tech-free zones, right? So maybe that's your dinner table. Maybe that is, you know, other times as a family or individually where we just agree, or even encourage your student when they are with their peers that maybe when we're doing something as a group, we make the decision that we don't have that device in front of us.
I think a lot of this goes back again to some of the conversation we had in the last episode where we talked about the internet is full of some really great resources and tools, and we can learn a lot. Watch a YouTube video, learn how to cook a certain recipe or play the guitar, but then step away from it and go cook that recipe or go play that guitar or go outside and play on the grass the new game that you learned. So how does the increasingly digital world impact students' well-being and mental health? That's a big piece right now.
Yeah, that's a really big question. I think, you know, students, because they are so engaged in a digital world, it's kind of like being on all the time, right? We're not giving our brains time to relax and breathe and process and stepping away from others and disconnecting. As much as we want to connect, we also sometimes it's really powerful and healthy to disconnect. So I think, you know, that can be something that really impacts student well-being. And also, you know, students go on the internet and often think what they see is the norm, and it's actually far from it. And we know young people want to be part of the in-group and not the out-group, right? That's very natural for everyone. So I think that sometimes it can be very detrimental that students think what they see, whether it be body image or, you know, people tend to only post really positive, great things, right? That it's only giving students a narrow lens of what it really means to be human and what life is all about. So sometimes I think that can make students feel less than, and I think that can have an impact on their well-being.
I think we've seen some good examples on maybe celebrities more recently to where they've called out how fake they've felt on some of the social medias. And I really do feel like those are good examples that you can bring to your students to say, you know, these are really, you know, popular people. These are people that have millions of followers that are kind of calling out that this feels fake to them. And, you know, that really gives the students a way to kind of let off some of that steam, take some of that pressure away.
I think it's natural. We as adults have a hard time maintaining that balance piece. So of course, our students, our children are also going to have a hard time with that balance. And social media and technology can have an effect on adults in a, you know, positive or negative way when it comes to the mental health aspect. So I think we also have to be open-minded in that, again, our children are not perfect and they need help developing those habits and understanding that what we see online is not always reality.
Right. I would also add to that, it is the intent and the purpose of how we use technology also matters. And so if we're on social media and consuming more than we are creating, there's going to be a impact on your well-being with that amount of time. And so if you're identifying a need or working towards a goal and you're using technology in that way and then sharing that out, that's that intentional, that purpose-driven usage of the internet or of technology. And so that can impact you in a positive way. That goes back to the kindness piece and the intentionality of doing something positive for you and for others through that technology. And so it does matter how we use technologies as much as how much we use technologies.
So what does digital balance look like, especially for our teens today? We've got distractions, digital distractions, and notifications popping up left and right. And we know that dopamine hit comes in when we get that notification. So how do our teens develop that digital balance? How do we help them? Because we know it's hard.
Yeah, I think one of the pieces that in our conversation with parents in the district, you know, we've come to understand it's almost not realistic to just say, take their phone away, put the phone away, right? So, you know, we really need to have those conversations with students. And part of that is adults understanding so much of young people's lives are just happening in that way. So, you know, really making sure that we're having those conversations that, okay, we know they're going to spend time communicating with their friends through electronic devices, but again, empowering them and letting them know what positive interaction looks like. And then also having the conversation with them to say, give yourself permission to not have to use this or to not do these things. So, you know, really like encouraging our students to foster in-person relationships. Like it's very common to see a group of young people sitting together and they're all on their phones and they're interacting and they're all there, but they're doing it digitally. So I think adults need to also have a little bit of a shift in how we're perceiving the use of technology for young people.
Yeah, there's great examples of socializing that's going on online, and I'm not saying that's the only place to do that, but when our teens are going into the Xbox worlds and the PlayStation worlds, and they're meeting their friends there, so there is a social component beyond the game. The game is kind of the meeting place, but there's a lot going on in those conversations and through those spaces that are important conversations. And so this idea of you know, the increasing digital impact is important to think about, because it's different than when we were younger because of the importance of some of those spaces for some of our students and some of our kids. And so it to me, it still comes back to having conversations with your child to find out what they're doing. And it's not accusational, it's accusatory. It's just because you want to know more, and because you care, and because you love them, and you want to find out more about their life and what they're interested in, and how they're learning, essentially. And so, I think even at the younger, you asked about teens, but I think it starts at the younger ages. And at the younger ages, you have those conversations around building habits and establishing some of those guidelines and that open conversation, so that as they grow up, they know that they can continue to trust you. And so when they get into those more open spaces, they're continually coming to you and having those kinds of conversations.
Yeah, I also think it's a good method to help the students combat against that always-on mentality. They need to see the adults in the room, not respond immediately to a text message or a notification. If you've established those kind of technology-free times, respect those, you know, let them see you decline a call because you're engaged in a conversation with them. Those are all great things that give them a foundation to say, you know, that's okay. I don't have to respond immediately to everything that comes to my phone.
So we're heading into our final digital citizenship element piece, that's digital equity and inclusion. And one of the things that, as our students are engaging in conversation online, how do we help them to develop a skill set where they can be kind and inclusive and respectful and engage in discourse in that inclusive, respectful setting and make sure that they are being kind online? Because that's a big piece. That's cyber. We get that cyberbullying piece built into that.
I feel like it goes back to just treating others how you would like to be treated. Inclusivity is, you know, accepting that there are going to be other viewpoints out there, that not everything that doesn't align perfectly with, you know, what you see in the world is absolutely wrong. So just building in those tolerance pieces and teaching children that there's a lot to the world, and don't close yourself off to new ideas.
Part of that is pausing. you know, pausing for a moment before you answer. Pausing for a moment just to take a time to think through what you want to or how you want to respond, and then trying to think about that perspective from others and how they will accept or how they will receive the message that you are then sending. So that's part of that respectful discourse and being a listener as much as then someone who responds, but just take a minute.
And I think sometimes, you know, like behind the screen, it's literally, it's like people feel shielded that they can maybe say things and that there aren't repercussions, but that things that people say are very real and have an impact on others.
Whether they're in person or online.
Yeah, so saying, you know, asking your student, would you say that to someone to them in person? Sometimes can help them gauge, is that inappropriate or is that hurtful?
What if my child, we've talked a lot about how to support our child in various elements. What if they've got, what if they want to continue to do some learning at home? What if they, we want to make sure that they're at, while they're at home and they are using the internet, they're using resources and websites and applications that are appropriate and are age appropriate and kind of have those safe kind of filters built in. What are some websites or applications, or how do I know what's best for my child to use at home?
I would say the first thing, I would say to a parent then is look at what our district provides for your students. So what are the sites that our teachers, our librarians, our counselors are using with students? Because we've vetted many of those sites. We've looked at a lot of those sites, and we're looking for open chat rooms and privacy, security, those items. And so we're promoting or sharing those sites with students as safer spaces to go to. That's the first thing I would say is, what are those sites? Or ask my child's teacher or, again, librarian, like, where are those sites that you're sending them to? What are the sites that the school believes in? And for example, there's at the state level, there's InfoOhio. And InfoOhio has really great resources. There's ebooks in there. There's research databases in there. And it's K-12. So there are resources for every age level. So a site like that is somewhere I think that all parents need to know about and help and work with their kids to use those, that site and the many different opportunities that are within that site.
Yeah, I feel like this is another good example of something that you can do with your child. If your child comes to you and says, hey, I'm interested in this topic, sitting down with them, helping them explore that topic, finding a good source of information that you feel comfortable kind of releasing them onto so that they can learn on their own, but you still have that interaction that they can come to you for help without just going and Googling something at random.
And it's okay to use a book or go to the library. You know, we all love technology here, but we also love the physical books and learning through reading and doing something not online. So I think that's okay as well. What if my child sees something concerning online or on an application that, you know, maybe upsets them or that they disagree with or that is harmful? What should they do in terms of that?
So I think it goes back to having that askable, trusted adult, establishing that relationship with, you can come to me and you're not in trouble. We can work through this together. And if it's something that is, having that discussion with your child, if ever you see someone is talking about harming themselves or harming others, that now is an adult situation that you need support. So I think having those conversations really starting from a very young age and letting them know the internet's a really big thing and you don't have to figure it out all by yourself. And letting them know the adults are there. And if something doesn't feel right to them, to always come to an adult, to trust that instinct.
Yeah. defining what's a safe and unsafe feeling or a situation. What made you feel uncomfortable? If and having that conversation about what is that? And it may not be something, you know, granularly specific, but at least it's a conversation that this, that at an appropriate age level conversation with your child about what makes them safe and unsafe. And it again, it can be, it doesn't have to be something illegal especially with your like youngest children, it can be just something that made them scared. So they're watching an animal video online and an animal attacks another one. Like, it's nothing that's illegal or bad necessarily, but it's something that they're not comfortable with and it made them feel uncomfortable. So even having that kind of a conversation opens it up to their feelings and how do they express that? And they're coming to that trusted adult again to express how I feel. So I'm thinking at the elementary level, of course, but those are kind of the beginning conversations.
Yeah, I think another thing to keep in mind is internet, social media, all of those things, they kind of have that aspect that it's the Wild West, that really anything goes. But a lot of these sites do post community standards, so things that they've already said, these are okay here, these are things that are not okay here. So, you know, as your student goes and starts to explore those types of online communities, understand what those community values are, those community guidelines, and then ensure that you empower your student to report concerning interactions. What methods have those platforms given you as a user to say, hey, this person may be in trouble, this person was threatening, you know, these things were concerning to me. Just having those pieces available and letting your student know that they're there and built in is going to help them navigate it as well.
As we kind of wrap up, one final thought that I have, and feel free to add to this, I think so much of what we've talked about over the last two episodes goes back to that through line of conversations and engaging in conversations with your child, keeping the lines of communication open, having that trusted adult and that safe space to come and say, I made this mistake, or I don't know how to do this, or this has made me feel uncomfortable. I think that's that through line through so much of what we've discussed over the last two episodes.
Yeah, I think that engagement piece is just really key. Being engaged with your child and establishing those lines of communication. And that doesn't mean parents always approve or agree with their child, but that they're able to listen for understanding.
Yeah, I agree. And I think as a parent, it's hard for us to be vulnerable to some of these topics, to admit that we are concerned about our child's safety and, you know, making sure that they're safe online. But I do feel that overcoming that and meeting them where they are to have these hard conversations is important.
All right. Well, thank you all for participating in this with us. If you would like more information or more resources, on the Olentangy website, on the digital citizenship page, we have a variety of resources and information, some printables for you to access.
Thank you again, Jennifer, David, Sam, and Katie, for this informative and impactful series. We hope it helps our listeners as we all work together to develop learners that are good digital citizens. So until we say hello again, goodbye, Olentangy.